Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It's a Reaction Monday. Appreciate you rocking with us. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Also, there's the live streams brought to you by MoCam Injury Lawyers, both on the YouTube page and on the Twitch. And, of course, there's so many ways to get at us and get listen to us, right? Obviously, the Odyssey app, there's the, you know, there's AM, obviously 610. There's the HD station, 100.3. HD2.
Yep.
That's right. I was like, my brain feels like this is wrong, but I know it's right. But yeah, 103.
If you got HD2. Audio, you got us. If you got audio on in the palm
YouTube,
of your hands.
Yep. iHeart, yep. I'm missing some. Twitch, all those.
You listen, you got us.
And we appreciate you tapping in. Whatever way works best for you. Thank you.
It's funny. I was talking to somebody. He was like, hey, is the Odyssey app working for y'all? And I'm like, if it's not working, go to the iHeart app.
Yeah.
And he's like, dang, I didn't even know y'all was
everywhere.
On there.
We're everywhere.
Yeah.
We're worldwide.
We are. Yeah. I was listening to fellas when I was in Nashville.
There you go.
Couldn't listen to them up there. No, I'm just playing. We love those guys up there, including Ron Slay, who joined us.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a little bit of a self-scout here, because that's what you do when you're in a bye situation. Let's look at our Texans and – how are we looking at them coming out of the bye week? What are the how will you assess the Texans' hopes is the way that we'll put this here, John Lopez.
Yeah, obviously there's going to be some positives and some negatives.
What?
Yeah.
You have negatives?
Sorry, breaking news. But especially after the weekend, see what some of these teams are doing. We talked a little bit about the Colts, et cetera.
Just the Colts.
Yeah, well, you know, others as well. But after watching that and watching where the Texans have been – these last, five quarters to be exact, and then having the off week to sort of get themselves together even more, so to speak. You know, where are you with the Texans? And I'll start because I've got some positives and some negatives for sure. I've been saying since the preseason, this isn't to pat myself on the back. I think it's just natural. A lot of people would believe this. It'll take 5 or 6 weeks before we really know what this team is, especially offensively. Well, we're in week 6. And I think the answer is we kind of know where they are. I think the offense is much improved. I think Nick Caley has got a better grasp of what he's doing, and that's not a shot because I think he even would tell you it was going to be a big learning curve, you know, when he's on the hot seat calling the plays. But I also think, and this is maybe some of the negatives, they're still – the off week didn't make you deeper in the offensive line. It didn't add a running back. You know, it didn't add a tight end. So there are still those micro margins, you know, that are there that this team has to be just completely healthy the rest of the way, you know, in order to keep this thing going.
Yeah, but I feel like that's the nature of the car crash sport to some degree. Right now, at least the offense, you're getting the five fingers in the glove on the offensive line. It's not perfect by any means, but I don't think anybody was clamoring for perfect with this offensive line. I think the question is not functionality now with this offense. I think that's the thing that we've gotten. I was hoping to have that answer earlier on in the season.
Yeah.
But likewise with you, I thought that this first 5-game run would give us an idea of what this thing is and give us an opportunity and a platform to begin kind of judging it. It functions. It works. And that's not nothing because there was a point in time where we weren't sure if it functions.
If whatever.
How high does it function? Yeah. In what circumstances does it function, right? Like you might get some doohickey and you go, all right, it turns on. Does it work in the rain? Does it work under extreme temperatures? that's the portions that I still want to see, and how efficiently and effectively does it work? Because unfortunately, we don't have enough data there. But the thing that makes me the most encouraged is the most important player when it comes to that entire offense, which is C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. It feels like C.J. Stroud has gotten his arms around this offense.
Yes, yes.
There's probably still some give and take to be done. And I honestly think that there was a lot of give and take that got them to this point. But it feels like he's at a place where it's workable, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you pick up a video game for the first time and you're trying to figure out the buttons. It's like, all right, I know enough of the buttons. I might still learn some more combinations to be even better, no. right? I still need to figure out what the combination is to throw the lob in this game. But I can put up the shot. I could pass, right? If obviously I'm talking about 2K. But like I can do those things, and that's what it feels like is here.
Yeah.
So I do feel good about that portion of it. And I guess when you're talking about positives on self-scouting, and it's funny that we started the segment this way, because mm-hmm. I told you that this was a thought that I was having, and I did not anticipate using it here. Is the defense just set in stone now?
No.
Like, we're just done having any level of concerns, and I feel like me personally, has brought up the word concern too much with this defense. But, you know, it's all relative. Are we just done having any level of look? Just don't look over there. It's yeah. fine.
I think this defense is elite and is going to stay elite. So I'm with you 100% on that. That much, the self-scouting is, this is going to be the case. People are going to have a hard time with this defense the rest of the way, whether it's, you know, an explosive offense or a bad offense or somewhere in between. This defense is elite. The thing you mentioned about C.J. Stroud to me is probably the best, most promising thing about having the bye week now is I think C.J. Stroud is going to be even more comfortable running the show because he clearly, and you also mentioned this, that maybe he had a say in kind of changing things.
They said it.
In changing things along the way. I think they're listening to him even more because they've had success. I think he's, you know, this off week, this bye week, as much as they take time off, it's always kind of been something I'm sure that he's looked at and sort of contemplated on what's been working, what's not been working, et cetera. And I think we got the evidence of that with the plays that he's been changing at the line of scrimmage more fluidly, you know?
With the self-scout, I think sometimes it's like you can look at a good thing and then ask, how sustainable is this really? Because mm-hmm. we don't have to do the thing where it's good and so we don't have to look at it, which, again, I think the defense – it's probably earned that kind of status. The running game is the portion that I would like to ask you about because you mentioned depth and running back. We're not too far from the trade deadline, and mm-hmm. we'll stop down and think about this in a more in-depth way. Does this feel like a running game where you're like you're content with what you have here, or would you be possibly looking outside? There's a name that keeps coming up, especially as we've become the Houston Cyclones mm-hmm. here, particularly on offense. Does a Breece Hall or something like that interest you where you're like, I might be able to be talked into a running back in addition to what's happening?
No, I could easily be talked into a running back. But your first question is about, am I satisfied? Yes, I'm satisfied with this 1-2 punch, especially with Woody Marks getting more carries and more touches, et cetera. But the health of a running back is always, you know, is always going to be fragile.
Fair.
So I would easily be talked into adding another one.
Because, all right, let's do the hypothetical as you basically made this point. What happens if mm-hmm. you end up with some level of bump or bruise? I'm not going to say specifically because I'll feel really bad if it then happens. With, let's say, Woody Marks.
Mm-hmm.
What is the game plan at that point? What does it look like, at least in your imagination?
I think you're terrified.
Well, obviously you're terrified in any situation. But, like, actually, what does it look like? It's just Nick Chubb. And then Dare?
I think it'd be
those
Dare.
Reps,
or is it Dare?
Is it more DP? Is it more Damian Pierce?
I think.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dari gives you more because he can also, you know, obviously block, but not that Damian's awful at it, but he can block, he can receive, and he has run the ball some. And Damian Pierce, in the little time that he's been able to get on the field, has still not been real productive on that. No, that's why.
He's been not productive.
Not productive. I think that's why they're micro margins. I mean, they're just micro margins right now on the offensive line and running back and tight end. So that's why you got to be healthy. I would easily be talking to additions.
Interesting
there.
That you bring up tight end, because yeah. It feels like Harrison Bryant, fine. And of course, I feel bad because he hasn't been on the team for very long. However, the third tight end that this Texans team brought in.
Brendan Bates.
There we go. Yeah. Brendan Bates. Yeah. I was mixing up his name into all sorts of things that were not Brendan Bates. They have looked fine for what the purpose is that you need them to do. Mm-hmm. However, in a self-scout type of way, what has been your read on the tight end position as a whole and maybe outside of Dalton Schultz, who admittedly seems like he's finding a role that fits him in this offense?
No, Dalton Schultz is not an issue by any stretch. But let's, again, not to be specific, a bumper bruise to Dalton Schultz. You're bleeped.
That's a good point.
You are bleeped if anything happens to Dalton Schultz.
Actually, I think that Harrison Bryant can operate.
Yeah, but fine. He's not gonna stretch the middle of the field. You know, have the confidence per se to make those third down catches, which Dalton Schultz has been having a pretty good year. You are really messed up if that's the case. So those are the yeah buts. I do want to say this though. I think we need to give D'Amico Ryans probably more credit than we've been giving him, because they were 0-3, man. They were 0-3.
I recall.
And you know, his positivity, the way he handles the, you know, as a player's coach, the locker room and all that, just to be able to respond. I get it. The competition hasn't been great, but to be able to respond and have this momentum and have this level of confidence going into the bye week. And now you're going to Seattle for Monday night, and we all know it's going to be a tough task, but I don't think anybody is, you know, quivering in their boots here, you know, and I think I'm talking about them, you know, and fans might be, but I'm talking about them. I think you got to give D'Amico Ryans a lot of credit for kind of staying the course there.
In the spirit of self-scout, mm-hmm. How would you evaluate D'Amico Ryans' ability as a team, getting his guys prepared and ready for these first five games, game plan-wise?
Mm-hmm. I think he's been really good defensively. We know that. That's his specialty, and that's where the most talent is. I think it's been a little bit, as much as we just gave him credit, I think it's been a little overstated, his hand in the offense. I don't think he has a...
You think it's been overstated?
Yeah. I don't think he has a hand in the offense. I think just being around and being able to see the discussions and how they're working game plans and sort of being a sounding board and all that is more. He's not running anything on offense.
But I don't think you have to, right? Yeah. Like, just like in a business, the boss is not going to come in and do your spreadsheets for you.
Yeah.
But like the whatever the managerial tactics that are necessary to help get you to the right place, it does feel like, and I'm somebody that does believe that him being able to step into more of a CEO type role, quote unquote, has allowed them to usher themselves into a place that is more streamlined. And maybe it was the necessity because of how dire the situation was at 0-3. But it feels like that the quickness with which they got to that place where, like, hey, this needs to shift, and their ability to kind of turn that
around.
That's
the leadership I'm complimenting him.
Right. Yeah. I do think that I'm with you there. Yeah. I think that we do need to give him some credit there. And that's something that I do hope to see continue to grow, because, again, he's done that for 2 weeks. What happens as you get more comfortable with the ability to do that and bounce around and know how to hit those buttons even more precisely?
Yeah, no, I hope. You're right. Now, let me ask you about the million-dollar question here.
Oh, it's $1 million on
this
the table?
This is the million-dollar question. When you're self-scouting this team, do they still have a reasonable path to get there? Because this bye week, some crazy things happened. What is it, 7 teams make the postseason in each conference?
That is the last time I checked. I believe that is what it is.
There are 8 teams right now that have at least 4 wins, I believe, in the AFC, or at least have a chance to do that.
All right, so teams that have at least 4 wins in the AFC. Number one team is the Indianapolis Colts at 5-1. Second is the Pittsburgh Steelers at 4-1, alongside the Buffalo Bills at 4-1. Steelers, by the way, have the tiebreaker as of right now with conference record, but that'll change at a later date. Chargers 4-2. Jacksonville Jaguars also 4-2. Denver Broncos 4-2. And the New England Patriots 4-2.
So 7 teams make the postseason. eight teams right now have at least four wins.
Seven teams have four wins. The Chiefs are 3-3.
And then that's not counting the Chiefs. So you have seven teams with four wins and the Chiefs at 3-3. What's the path? You know, now that you're sort of, you know, self-scouting and reevaluating where you are, you know, can they still get there?
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
In part because, and I like the way that I've actually looked at this. I'll help answer the question by asking another question, which I'm sure is a thing that everybody loves. I'm going to name teams that are below the Texans right now. And you tell me if you have any real concern of them getting back into the race and the hunt for what we're talking about here in the playoffs.
Okay.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
No.
You just flat out no?
They're not going to get back in the race.
Okay. Interesting.
Joe Flacco.
Enough.
Davis Mills was mentioned.
Was a name that was brought up. That was interesting as well. All right. You say flat out no. Figgy, you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. The Las Vegas Raiders.
No.
Yeah, they... As much as I was anticipating them being better, I feel like the Geno Smith thing,
same old Raiders,
is done. And I was like, man, I thought that he had turned a corner.
No,
you know what I realized? Geno Smith is 35 years old. Like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady got us messed up thinking that everybody's supposed to be able to do this to 40. He might have just hit the cliff. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. The Baltimore Ravens.
No.
You're just flat out no?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot going on with that defense. I don't think... Whatever they do, Lamar can't fit but so much.
Yeah, yeah, he comes back and just gets into the Dak Prescott space. Where can you score 45?
Yeah.
All right, Miami Dolphins.
No.
Big old no. The Cleveland Browns.
Absolutely not.
The Tennessee Titans.
Nope.
The New York Jets.
The New York, who?
Jets.
I forgot about that game on Sunday morning.
They ain't got no Jets over there, man.
Shout out to the Jets.
At least Aaron Glenn will always have Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That was their win of the season right there.
That was the best thing I've seen on the internet this year. It's so good. If you haven't seen it, search Aaron Glenn, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
So anyways, my larger point in doing that exercise where I got distracted, none of those teams, or at least maybe I'll put up one or two possibles, have an opportunity to kind of jump you. Now you're already ninth, and you play the Jaguars one more time. Mm-hmm. You play the Colts twice, although that one's a little bit rough. You play the Broncos. You have a little bit of, you know, control, not entirely control your destiny, but an opportunity to get into those spaces. Now, you're talking about the lower rungs of it, wild card, before we even start talking about AFC South. But no, I still think that there's definitely a path, especially as the thing that we acknowledged coming into, what was it, coming into week five. Yeah. The recipe is there.
The recipe is there. I'm actually with you. I think the path is still there. I go back to just, you know, doing the math and counting games. Because you're right, you are playing the Jaguars another time. You do have the Broncos here, I believe.
Yes, that is the middle of your three, the third of your three-game set.
Yeah, so you do have have some of these teams that you're going to face and potentially beat and get back. But they're playing other games, too. So when you do the math.
Sure, no, you're right.
Know, when you do the math, you're 2-3. They still have four wins. That's two wins two games in the win column that you have to catch up. And
right.
I still think, in a weird way, this is a huge game against the Seahawks Monday night.
Oh, absolutely.
If you drop to 2-4 and the math, you know, you're running out of games, you know, little by little, you're running out of games and the math is there. And let's say I think the Colts are bye this week, if I remember correctly. But either way, some of these teams ahead of you start winning these peripheral games and just kind of stay in front of you.
Colts are still playing. They have the Chargers.
Okay, that's right. They have the Chargers. Mm-hmm. But all these games.
Thanks for listening during around the AFC.
Yeah, I know. I don't remember now. But in 1 year. Anyway, but the math can get hard once these games start, you know, adding up.
Yeah, and I feel like the Texans kind of got a tough little stretch too, man. Mm-hmm. I know San Francisco, they struggling with the injuries and all that stuff, but then you got the Denver Broncos, who, by the way, had 9 sacks.
That might be the best. That might be one of the best defenses along with your Texans team. And yeah, you mentioned 9 sacks. I was going to save this for winners lose the weekend. I could say it twice. Mm-hmm. 9 sacks on Justin Fields. The same number as the completions that he had in that football game. Why do we keep exporting this slop out there? Why do those English folks in the rest of Europe keep showing up to our games?
When did we have a good game overseas at some point?
I know that it's happened at least once, but the fact that I can remember one in particular.
Yeah, I can't think of one good game. Like, man, that game was so good.
Yeah,
we just be sending them anything. Like, you take it, deal with it. There you go. A little bit of a kind of self-scout in what this team is looking at. I still, it feels like there's some hopefulness, but you're right. Like, it's getting late early for this Texans team because of the way that it started.
And like Figgy said, you got the Broncos and Seahawks defense you got to contend
with. Yeah. Yeah. The only thing about it is the Broncos offense looks a little bit little bit shakier, and Bo Nixon as well looks a little shakier.
And then I don't want to overlook San Francisco, man.
No.
Just for some reason, I just can't. Maybe if Matt Jones playing, then that's a good thing, but I don't want to overlook them either.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I don't think you can overlook anyone. And to be fair, I don't think this team is in the business of overlooking anybody. So that is a good thing. They start Monday night versus the Seattle Seahawks. Of course, we'll take you up to that here on the home of the Texans, Sports Radio 610. But coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confessions. We'll get that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.